Yeah. It's breaking.
World's on fire. Our culture is disintegrating.
Hey, pass the salt.
It's time. It's time.
Hey, you, pass the salt.
You know why it's disintegrating? Because we're jellyfish.
Pass the salt, will you?
Pass the salt.
Pass the salt, amigo.
World's on fire. I think they could give us a new name. I believe
hey,
we are even
pass the salt.
Jellyfish.
Time. Time.
Hey,
will
you
pass
the
salt?
Pass the salt.
We need salt over here.
It's time for Pass the Salt.
But we like to share the gospel without any backbone to it, see?
The views, opinions, and seemingly outrageous comments expressed in this program are based on the Holy Spirit leading of a man called Coach.
I gotta ask you this out there, Christian America.
It's time for Pass the Salt with a Coach, Dave Dobenmeyer.
Well, Sunday's supposed to be a day of rest. Or Saturday, if you want to argue about that one. One of those days is supposed to be a day rest. I tried to make it one yesterday, but didn't get very far. Hello to all of you out there who still are praying for me that I not go to hell because I came out and said something nice about Donald Trump. I spent all day yesterday. You think I'm making this up? I spent about 5 hours yesterday on Facebook because it's a great place to reach out to people. I wrote a commentary on Thursday, why I'm voting for Donald Trump. And you would have think I opened a brothel. The attacks that came my way since Thursday, I can't even explain it to you. And these are from, hi Kevin, I'm hearing from God-fearing people I respect, and people who are concerned about my salvation. And no matter how much I try to explain to them what's going on, I'm telling you, you cannot shake them out of it. You just can't shake them out of it. Can't shake them out of it. I'm going to talk about all that today. I'm going to say this right now. This isn't a political show, although we talk politics. I'm also going to tell you this. I don't care who you vote for. Do this. Vote your conscience. Vote your conscience. But if you vote your conscience without all the information, there's something wrong with you. If you just wake up and you read something on the internet, or you hear something from Rush Limbaugh, or you hear something from John Kasich, and you make a decision based on a commercial that you heard from the Democratic Party, if you make your decision with just a part of the information, I can't even help you. I just can't. I don't even know what to tell you. And I listen. I don't know if you guys know this or not. I use this thing quite a bit. I like to get in this thing and read, and I got to tell you, I'm reading this Bible probably as much as the people who are offering their criticism to me. Yeah, I've read a lot. And I'm going to tell you something. This may surprise you. You might be wrong. Because I've told you this for years and years and years. Well, not all of you guys here, but ever since I've been being me publicly, I've been telling people this and this and this and this. Biggest Bible verse wins. You can get the Bible to support just about anything you want it to support. Somebody say amen for me. Somebody say amen. You can grab any scripture out
amen.
Of context and apply it to any situation, and you can find biblical justification for what you do. I'm going to do that right here, by the way. I'm going to do that right here in just a minute. But see, the Bible says it's the full counsel of God. It's the full counsel. You can't go on one Bible verse. You can only go so far. And we have to be smart enough to have the full counsel of God, the entire wisdom of the gospel of Jesus, so that we can make decisions in these crazy times. Hey, our queue's full. I don't know what happened to Roger this morning. I couldn't wait to beat up on him. Listen, if you can't get in here and using up all your data, call us on the phone, 605-475-0017. It's free. Well, sorry, JR. To everybody that has free long distance on their cell phone, it's free. 605-475-0017. 605-475-0017. Boy, have I got some stuff to show you here. You want to start out with something good? Let's start out with something good today. No. While we're getting ready to start out with something good, go to Mark 9. Mark 9. Mark 9. Because I'm just going to use this. I'm not going to use a whole lot of Bible today, because, as I said, biggest Bible verse wins. How many of you would agree this? Get ready to raise your hand. This is a vote. How many would agree that this scripture is pretty much foundational and important for us to follow? And that would be this. Thank you, Lord. For him who knows to do right good, not to do it, to him it is sin. Would you agree with that? Now, what if sometimes the good isn't perfect? If the good isn't perfect, should you do it? Because the reality is we live in a world today where choices aren't always black and white. They're not always. Wouldn't it be so easy if they were? If choices were just black and white? It's like I was talking to Rich here before we went on the air. Hey, guys, look. Yeah, somebody correct me if I'm wrong. Barring a cataclysmic event, the next president of the United States will be Hillary Clinton or Donald Trump. Does anybody disagree with that? Anybody down here at all? Anybody out there listening right now disagree with that? That barring something unforeseen, Donald Trump or Hillary Clinton will be the next president. Okay? So now we're stuck. We're stuck. You may have 10 other candidates that you like. You may have no other candidates you like. And you may say, I ain't voting for either one of them. They're both evil. Okay. You have the right to do that. It's called voting your conscience. But have you really thought it through before you make that decision? Have you really thought it through? It's like I said to Rich before we went in the air. If I come home tonight, I take my wife out and my grandkids out, and they're going to stay all night with us. So we come home tonight, and it's just getting sun. The sun's just gone down. You know how it is. And I open up my door, and I walk into my house. And I got to go into my house. And in my house, immediately when I turn on a light, standing right before me is a rattlesnake and a wolf, teeth showing. What do I do? I don't want to pick either one of them. I don't want to pick either one of them. But I can't do what I have to do because there's a rattlesnake and a wolf inside my house. So what do you do at that point? You assess. Wait a minute. I'm going to move my house because the Bible says have nothing to do with the unfruitful deeds of darkness. I better move. I can't even go in that house. There's a rattlesnake and there's a wolf in there. I can't go in there. But everything I have's in there. Everything's in there. I got to go in there. Well, I could go to the neighbor's house. Maybe I could go live at the neighbor's house. Well, no, I can't do that. Maybe I could camp out. Yeah, you can camp out if you want to. Let the snakes, wolves have your house. Sure, you can. But that's not even realistic. So when I stand at my door and I look in at the rattlesnake, my grandkids behind me now. I stand at the door, and there's the rattlesnake, and there's the wolf. Which one, what are you going to do, JR? What are you going to do? Didn't hear you. Come on, man, we want to hear from you here. What are you going to do? He's muted. Still muted. What are you going to do, Wayne?
Going to grab the rattlesnake and throw it to the wolf.
No! No! Good one. I'm going to grab the wolf and throw him at the rattlesnake. But we would agree, wouldn't we, Wayne, that you're going to have to take one of those dudes out.
This is a good illustration. I like this.
You got to take one of them out. You don't want either one of them in there. But you got to start somewhere. And so you sit back and you look. You say, as you're making this split-second decision, you said, you know, I've watched that rattlesnake. I've never seen this wolf before. I've seen about wolves. I know about them. But I've seen rattlesnakes. I see what rattlesnakes do. Huh? And I'm going to tell you something. I'm getting rid of that rattlesnake because I see what it does. Dwayne, is that choosing the lesser of two evils? Somebody help me out here.
You're right.
Somebody help me out here.
I agree, Coach.
Maybe it's eliminating the greater of two evils.
Larry, what? Say that again, Larry.
Maybe it's eliminating the greater of two evils.
Maybe it's eliminating the greater of two evils. So you're going to have to pick the rattlesnake, or you're going to have to pick the wolf, and you look at the evidence and say, you know what? I don't like either one of them, but I'm getting that snake out here before I do anything else. That snake has the ability to hide and slink around and bite at you at night. You don't even know. I've seen that snake. I'm getting that thing out of here. Yes, Stephen.
I just want to say that, to even take it even a little bit further, the very fact that the only choice is Trump and Hillary, supposedly, just goes to show you the very state of the country in itself and what's going on in our own backyard. So I want to take it even further than just the politics situation.
So I would say this, Stephen, you ready for this?
Yeah.
We got snakes in the pulpits.
Yeah.
And we don't have people worried about taking those snakes out of the pulpits, do we? No, we're not worried about that. Oh, some people are. Some people aren't. But no, we're not really. Not really. Am I making a good illustration here, fellas? You understand what I'm talking about?
Hey, I want to add in what Stephen just said. That was absolutely amazing. You know, people, the fact that we only have two viable choices for what's actually going to end up being president is a horrible indictment on the laziness and the ineptness and the whatever you want to call it of the American public for the last 200 and some odd years.
Remember,
we have allowed the system to develop where we only have two choices.
That's right.
It's our fault that we're stuck with two rotten choices.
So, Larry, I tell people this. Listen, we're not electing a king. We are not electing a king. We're electing someone who's going to preside over the American government. And right now we have a Republican House and a Republican Congress. And according to what I read in the platform, if they pass a bill, hey, snakes and wolves! If the Congress passes a bill overturning homosexual marriage, which one's going to sign it? Hillary or Trump? So, well, I don't know about Trump. You can't trust him, okay? What about Hillary? You know what she's going to do. If Congress passes a bill saying abortion is illegal, what's Hillary going to do, guys? What's Trump going to do? Oh, you can't trust him. I don't care. What did he say he would do?
He would sign it.
He said he would sign it, right? So the problem's not Trump. Who's the problem?
Hillary.
Congress.
Congress.
Because, hey, courts don't make law. Presidents don't make law. Trump is not. Oh, despite what you think, Obama is not king. We've just let him be king. Somebody say amen. He's not king. We just let him be king. And so Christians have bought into the same idea that he's king. They think Trump's going to be king. And I can't elect King Trump. Snake or wolf? Did I tell you go to Mark 9? I hope Roger's listening someplace. This isn't going to be very long. Because, hey, Wayne, I'm going to pull one of those scriptures out of context, okay? But I think maybe I can use it here. Hey, guys, before I read this, give me a thumbs up if you think God can use an evil man to get his will done. Put a thumbs up if you agree with that. You mean you don't have to be a Christian for God to use you and orchestrate things? You don't have to be a Christian? Are you kidding me?
You could even be a donkey.
Yeah, you could even be a donkey. Man, oh man. So I'm on verse Mark 9. Did I say that? Oh, Lord. So let's go real quickly to verse 38. 9:38. I'm looking to decide exactly where to begin. If I go back too far, I'll never get done here. Okay, let's go 9:38. And Jesus answered him saying, Master. And John answered him saying, Master, we saw one running for president of the United States. And he wasn't one of us. And he wanted to, he's trying to fight abortion. He says he'll sign an abortion bill. And he says he'll overturn Obamacare. And he says he'll protect the nation and won't let all these immigrants come in here. He's going to stand up for America. Look, what do we do? He's not one of us. And he follows us, and we've told him he better stop doing it because he ain't one of us. Verse 39. But Jesus said, stop that, man. For there is no man which shall do a miracle in my name that can lightly speak evil of me. For he that is not against us is on our part. It says in Matthew that he who is not against us is for us. Hey, guys, come on now, Christians. Strip club owner Donald Trump, three times married Donald Trump, pagan Donald Trump, Hillary Clinton. Simple question. Who's most for us? Somebody tell me. Who's most for us?
Trump.
Which one of these candidates said that they would do away with the Johnson Amendment to open the mouth of the church so the church could have more impact? Which one of those candidates said that?
Trump.
Somebody help me. Did Hillary say that?
Nope.
She didn't say that? And what did Jesus say? He who is not against us is for us. He said, don't stop him. Don't stop him. Could it be that Trump just has a little bit more bravery than the average Christian man? Somebody say amen.
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 I would like to send him a plaque from Past Assault Ministries. You know what I'd put on the... You know what I would put on the plaque? To Donald Trump, thanks for single-handedly ridding us of the Bushes. That's what I would put on it. He single-handedly got rid of the Bush dynasty. I think that's worth a pat on the back to Donald for having done that. I don't want to get bogged down.
Amen.
You get the point that I'm making to you here, guys? That sometimes the Lord can use non-Christian people. Hey, folks, you understand this? Rattlesnake or wolf, which one are you getting rid of? And as Larry said, I think it was Larry, which one is the greater evil? Let's start right here. Get ready, class. Jared, I'm starting with you, class. Tell me one evil thing while in government. See, Donald Trump's never done anything in government. So, yeah, well, he's never held a position. I know. Jared, can you tell me one evil thing Hillary's done in government?
Well, she's lied to everyone in the nation.
Lied, good. Rich, can you tell me something?
Yeah, she loves the killing of babies.
Can you tell me something, JR?
Benghazi, having trouble with the mouse. Benghazi.
Steve, can you tell me something?
Me?
Yeah.
Yeah. I think they already said it all. Fast and Furious, right?
Good. Larry?
I had to handle a phone call, so I'm not. I'm okay. Turning the volume down.
Larry, can you tell me something bad Hillary's done while in office?
While in office?
Yeah.
So sold out American interest and private people's interest in the land like out in the West.
Okay, stop. Mike, you got anything? We don't have to go on. You get the point, don't you? I can name 20 things Hillary Clinton has done while having taken an oath to defend the Constitution. Snake or wolf? That alone, I cannot wait to run to the polls and vote out Hillary Clinton. You listen to me. We gripe and moan and complain, but how does she get away with it? How that Congress won't do anything about it, the FBI won't do anything about it. How does she get away with it? How does Hillary get away with it? Well, baby, she ain't going to get away with it, because by the millions, we're going to go vote her wide bottom out. We're going to do what Congress won't do. Oh, I can't vote for Trump. Oh, no, no, no. No, 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 no. I'm telling everybody who's listening to me, I can't wait till November to go cast that snake out.
Amen.
Why don't we have that attitude by it? Guys, do you realize that there is do you know that the Constitution calls, I'm going to ask you, what does the Constitution call what Hillary Clinton has done?
Treason.
Treason.
High crimes and misdemeanors she has done while in public office. Can anyone listening to this show possibly explain to me how Donald Trump has done anything even remotely compared to that? I'm waiting. So I thought. See, we're confused. We're deluded. Where is that strong delusion going to come from, JR? Where is it? Who's the strong delusion going on to? Yeah, you got it. Yep. God's people. They're the ones got the. They're the ones. They're the ones.
Hey, Coach.
Yes.
For just a second, I want to go back to your scripture that you used.
Hang on, Larry. Jared, get ready. Democrats, tell the truth. Get that screen share ready. Go ahead, Larry.
I just want to point out one of those things that was shown to me years ago by the Holy Spirit about that scripture. Okay. In Mark it says, "For he who is not against us is on our side." Okay.
Right.
In Matthew it says, "He who is not with me, he who is with me is not." Okay. He who is not with me is against me. So in one, he says, he who's not with me is against me. The other one, he says, he who is not against us is for us. Now, these both say the same things from two different sides. But the same thing they say is there are two sides.
Wow.
Two sides, one or the other. Everybody on the face of the earth is either for him or against him. There's nobody trying to make their mind up.
See, Larry, listen. Donald Trump may be... Here's a big difference, folks. Hey, I don't care how ticked off you are at me. Turn it off. Donald Trump may be the most immoral man ever to step foot in America, some of you would say. Is he trying to make his immorality the law of the land? Is he trying to do that? Or is he smart enough to understand that there's a need for morality? Maybe he doesn't follow it, but he understands there's a need for morality.
Yes.
Now, what's Hillary's position?
Complete opposite.
It's the complete opposite. She has no morals. Oh, she has them, but they certainly aren't Christian morals. And now, remember I told you in Psalm 11:3 that God hates all workers of iniquity? That may not be Psalm 11:3. Hillary Clinton is a worker of iniquity. Trump's a sinner. Oh, don't you see the difference? Hillary is a worker of iniquity. She's doing everything she can to oppose the cross of Christ. Trump's a sinner. He doesn't understand it, but he's not trying to produce evil. He's trying to fight it. He doesn't know how. He's not a saved man. He doesn't know how, but he's not trying to make abortion everywhere like Hillary is. He has some modicum of understanding.
Snakes. You hit the nail, Coach. That's it. You got a worker of iniquity, and you have a sinner.
Look at his children. Look at his children.
The thing is, the sinner has been asking who for help? He called, 1,000 pastors to come and give him some ideas?
That's right, brother. And this first person he picked as a running mate was a professing, confessing, born-again Christian, Mike Pence. And Mike Pence, I could show you the clip. Mike Pence said just this weekend that he and Donald Trump will overturn Roe versus Wade. Did anybody see that? Oh, he ain't going to do that. He's just a liar. Okay, well, vote for Hillary then. How stupid are you?
He'll do it if the church backs him up.
He'll do it if Congress does their job.
And the church has got to do their job. Tell Congress.
The church has got to do their job. No, come on. Anybody feeling this with me? I'm sweating like a pig. You feeling me, Wayne? Are you feeling me out there, anybody? Hey, those AHA.
I'm scared, Coach. Hey. I'm scared. I'm scared that the church won't stand up and do
it. I am too, brothers. So like Mike said, Mike told me off the air, I ought to yell this every day till the election time.
Yes.
Every day.
By the way.
I'm going to tell you something. Donald Trump is not an enemy of the church. He is not an enemy of the church. Hillary is an enemy of the church. How stupid are you? Go ahead, somebody. I'm sorry. Somebody tried to say
something. Oh, I was just going to butt in there and defend the church a little bit because okay. If you want the church to do something, then get it.
Vote out evil. Get rid of that rattlesnake, and we'll take care of the wolf later on. But we got to get rid of one of them. Well, I'm not getting rid of either one of them. Well, good luck, man. No, here's what it is. I'm just going to sit in my car, and I'll let my neighbor decide which one bites me. Yes? Huh? I'm going to go down and vote for my pastor. Let my pastor. I'm going to vote my conscience and cast it for my pastor. I'm too righteous and holy to vote for an evil man. Really? Take your kids to Disney much? Huh? Too harsh. Got several of those phone calls this weekend. Hey, Jared, are we on this thing? Democrats finally tell the truth? Can I show you a snake, boys? Remember, Hillary's sitting atop of one team and Trump's sitting on top of the other team. And you are picking teams. And it's like this. I said to somebody yesterday, the Ohio State Buckeyes were the best team in the nation last year. They were the best team. And I'm saying right now today, they're national champions. And some guy told me, he says, no, they're not. I said, yes, they are. He says, no, they're not. They had a championship game that was played. And Ohio State wasn't in it. Yeah, but they were still the best team. Yeah, I know, but they weren't in the game. So I can run around and put all types of Ohio State shirts on, 2016 national champions, and it would be a fraud because they weren't in the game. Is anybody hearing me out there? Tom Hoefling, God bless him. God bless you, Tom. Tom ain't playing in the championship game. Sorry. He may be in the round of 16, but he ain't in the final two. He's not in the championship game. God bless him. Oh, they're defriending me left and right. How can you go against such a godly man as Tom? I'm not going against Tom. I love Tom. God bless Tom Hoefling. I got two snakes. I got a snake and a wolf in my house. I got to get one of them out. I'm sorry. Maybe Tom can come and visit after I get one of them out. But right now, I got to get it out of here. Somebody say amen just so I know I got five friends here anyway.
Amen.
Okay, so read this with me on this screen share. This is one team. Hey, Jared, let's not worry about all that. Scroll on down. The Democrats finally tell the truth. This is Team Hillary. Stop. Okay, here it is. If Team Hillary wins, U.S. economy will no longer be based on a free market, but will be completely controlled by the federal government. Two, small business will be regulated out of existence and major corporations taxed into oblivion. Three, if you own a firearm to protect your family and property, you're a criminal and you're going to be disarmed. Four, if you're a Christian or a Jew and your religious beliefs don't conform to the federal secular agenda, your churches and synagogues will be shut down. Five, if you attempt to exercise your free speech rights by saying something the government deems politically incorrect, you'll be silenced. Six, when it comes to freedom of the press, most of the mainstream media is already in the tank for the Democrats and their socialist ideology, and as long as they continue to go with the party line, they'll be fine. But when the media who don't follow that route will be silenced. Seven, the due process clause of the First Amendment to the Fifth Amendment to the Constitution protects Americans from having the federal government arbitrarily take their lives, property. Ranchers' lives matter, and liberty will be ignored. 8, the federal judiciary, including Supreme Court, will no longer be a separate and independent branch of government, but will be stacked with judges who will support the agenda of the federal dictatorship. 9, the Congress of the United States will no longer be an independent branch of government. If it refuses to submit itself to the control of the executive branch, the government will simply be ignored. The laws will be imposed by executive order, or may I say, Supreme Court decisions. 10, there will no longer be any illegal immigration because our borders will be wide open to everyone, including drug dealers, violent gang members, potential terrorists. The United States will be a country, without borders and therefore not a sovereign nation. And as I saw Hillary just said, she wants to take abortion and make it free around the world. That's Team Snake. Now, listen. If you're sitting on the fence and you can't vote for Trump, ask yourself this. Is this what you want for your children and grandchildren right here, what I just read? Because it's very clear that's their policy. Hey, Hillary ain't king. Trump ain't king. We have a representative government. We have elected officials who are supposed to hold the president in check. Somebody say amen on that again, please. Amen. Are they doing it? Well, no.
Amen. No,
so they're not doing it, so we think we're electing a king. Okay? I'm on a roll. Stay here with me. Stay with me. Jared, let's go to Jared, let's go where it says platform, the New York Times. You see that one, Jared? I'm sure you do. Yeah. Look at this. This is from the New York Times. Team Hillary, Team Trump. Now, the New York Times is the mouthpiece of Team Hillary. You guys understand that? This is the enemy. This is the enemy talking to us now. And what is the enemy, the New York Times, say? Scroll on down a little bit for me, Jared, please. There it is. Keep going. Okay. Okay, here we go. Go back up one more. I'm sorry, bud. It is as though rather than trying to reconcile Mr. Trump's radical views with conservative orthodoxy, the riser platform simply opted to go with the most extreme version of every position. This is Trump's platform. Tailored to Mr. Trump's impulsive bluster, this document lays bare just how much the GOP is driven by regressive, extremist inner core. Go on down, Jared. Muslims anti-Trump. There, let's go right there. Mr. Trump's anti-Muslim phobia and fantasy wall across the Mexican border are front and center, along with his protectionist views, which deny long-held positions of the party. No less alarming is a raft of planks that ideologues push through to banish any notion of moderation and present-day reality from the party's credo. The majority has triumphed in securing retrograde positions that include, are you ready? Are you ready? This is Team Wolf. Making no exceptions for rape or for women's health in case of abortion. Somebody say amen. Requiring the Bible to be taught in public schools. What? Trump's platform says this.
Amen.
Selling coal as a clean energy source. This is the New York Times. Demanding a return of federal lands to the states, Larry.
Amen.
Insisting that legislators use religion as a guide in lawmaking.
Amen.
Appointing family values judges, barring female soldiers from combat, and rejecting the need for stronger gun controls despite the mass shootings afflicted every week. Look at the next one. The platform also makes homophobia and the denial of basic civil rights to gays, lesbians, and transgender people a centerpiece. It repudiates same-sex marriage. Despite strong support for this constitutional right in the nation at large, the party invokes natural marriage and states' rights for determining which bathrooms poor transgender people may use. And it defends merchants who would deny services to gay customers. Oh, Lord, what's happened? What is wrong with you folks? The enemy's giving us a scouting report. Optimists who show up every 4 years as members of the homosexual log cabin conservative Republicans, a gay rights group, had to admit, you ready? the most anti-gay platform in the party's 162-year history. Oh, I can't vote for Trump. Oh, I can't vote for Trump. This is just a piece of paper. This doesn't mean anything. He won't do that. He'll never do that. Well, Congress has to hold his feet to the fire, don't they? They put it down on paper. Here's our platform. But see, we won't make the king follow the platform. Somebody say amen. It's okay. And so here's what's happened to us. You see, we're so stupid we can't even see it. Because there was such division in the party, the Republicans had to put all of these conservative positions in there. They had to do it. They couldn't bring the party together. Hey, Mike Heath, what would those people who are bashing me, what would they be saying right now today if Ted Cruz was running on this platform? Mike?
They'd be saying what a hero you are.
What? Whoa, wow, what a, hey, yeah, yeah. But Trump, he doesn't believe that stuff. Really? This running on, you got Team Wolf and you got Team Rattlesnake. Team Rattlesnake told you they've already, not only that they're going to bite you, they've already bit you. They already bit you. And Team Wolf said, you're not sure if they're going to bite yet. They may run. You don't know.
You know, Coach, I've been watching politics, working in politics for almost going on 40 years. I didn't see this coming, that the platform would be as strong as it is.
And most people don't know it, Mike. They really don't know
it. Well, let me say this. Here in South Carolina, we've had much the same type platform for, the Republican Party has had, I used to be part of it, had had much the same kind of platform for decades, and Republicans have been in charge in the state house and in the legislature of South Carolina for well over 20 years, and in those 20 years, not one single plank of the Republican Party platform of South Carolina has ever been passed into legislation.
Isn't that something, buddy? Isn't that something? So, Larry, we have to ask ourselves this question. If Republicans pass a bill doing away with abortion, is Trump duty-bound to sign it? I think he's duty-bound to sign it. Well, maybe he won't, but he's duty-bound. Hey, if the Republicans pass the legislation doing away with abortion, will Hillary sign it?
Most definitely.
Guys, this is so easy. This is so easy to see what's going on. So I'm going to show you why. Some of you have probably already seen this. I'm going to show you why we're the mess we're in. Pull up the flip link there, Jared. Flip Venom. I think it says flip on it.
Coach, this is the best public testimony I've ever seen in my life.
Guys, I don't know how many of you have seen this yet. I'm going to play this right now. This is my dear friend, Reverend Flip Venom. Don't start it yet, Jared. This is going to be one of those. See, America wouldn't be in the mess we're in. We wouldn't have Donald Trump if pastors did what you're going to watch Reverend Flip do. Now, hang on. You don't know this. I know this because I talked to him. I said, Flip, did you take a bunch of people with you? He said, oh, no, Coach. No, I went by myself. I said, you went by yourself? He said, yeah. Yeah, he said, they hate me there in Charlotte City Council. I get 3 minutes every 3 months. And this is my three-minute time, 3 months. So I go and show up, and they know I'm coming. And you'll see some of them get up and walk out. As soon as they start speaking, they get up and walk out. And I said, well, who's in the crowd? Because the crowd's kind of booing. He said, yeah, but, Coach, if you listen, they're not booing at the end. And he said, you know who the crowd was? He said, it was a big thing for Black Lives Matter. The crowd is filled with Black Lives Matter folks. And Flip, being the lion tamer he is, or Flip being the heel that steps on the snake's head that he is, walks in to the middle of this den of iniquity. And you tell me, if more pastors were doing this in America, would we be even fighting about a guy like Donald Trump? Go ahead and play this, Jared. This is powerful, guys.
Then the first speaker this evening is Mr. Flip Venom from Concord, North Carolina.
There he comes.
You have 3 minutes.
Not a friend in the room. Not a friend in the room. The mayor's a lesbian. She started this whole transgender mess.
Miss Mayor, Council, good to be with you. What I just heard Mr. Mitchell read was just this, and the way that you received it was just a way of putting your middle finger right in the eye of Almighty God and saying that we are God, that we determine what is right and what is wrong. We do. And this book is just discarded, this book called the Bible. You know, it tells us in the Bible, just a word, unless the Lord builds the house, those who labor, labor in vain. Unless the Lord watches over the city, the watchman stands guard in vain. In vain you rise up early, toiling, doing all of your things. And God grants sleep to his beloved. Miss Kinsey prayed a prayer. I don't know if that was in the name of Jesus or not. She covered pretty much a number of bases, and that was interesting. But there is one God, and his name is Jesus. And we're going to stand for him in this city. You started the ball rolling on February 28th with this whole transgender issue. You, Miss Roberts, purposefully decided that you were going to go ahead and do this. You were going to try and make transgenderism, sexual orientation, sexual identity, now as somehow a civil right. Ma'am, you cannot make a moral wrong a civil right. You have no right to do that. It's a moral wrong. God has said, ma'am, I'm speaking.
Let him have his 3 minutes.
I'm speaking. And ma'am, don't interrupt me, please. You do that all the time.
No,
whenever I speak.
I interrupted the group to let you speak.
Ma'am, that's all right. They can say whatever they want to say, because if God doesn't fix this city, if God isn't the answer, if God isn't at the foundation, you're going to have bloodshed coursing down the corners of our streets, our schools, and our workplaces, and you're not going to have a police force big enough to stop it. Because when you sow bloodshed in the womb and the three abortion mills here in this city, you're going to reap it in the streets. And our God is a God of truth. And these things happen. And when you cast God behind your back, violence always comes in to replace the void. That's why we've got in our schools right now, we've got metal detectors and policemen, because they're trying to stop the gangs and violence and drugs that our kids are being turned over to. And now we got this transgenderism nonsense. Listen, it's not a sin to be black, but it is a sin to be a practicing homosexual. It is a sin. It is not a moral right. It is wrong. And you need to say so. And you've opened up the doors of hell on our city. You and this council. And you need to repent. I'd like to offer up a reward to you that if you'll repent right now in the name of Jesus, there will be peace returning to this city. Now, Miss Roberts, what will you do?
That's your 3 minutes, Mr. Benham. That's your 3 minutes. Your time is up.
Thank you. Listen to the crowd. Watch him walk out. He delivered the mail and left.
Next speaker signed up.
Flip wasn't trying. He wasn't worried about people not coming to Jesus, was he? He wasn't worried about offending them and turning them off from the gospel. Was that a powerful 3 minutes or what?
Wow.
Huh? Some hair on that boy's chest, isn't there? Some hair
Coach,
on his chest? Yeah.
Coach, once again, thank you for clearing things up so much.
We're fighting the evil, Serge. And unfortunately, there are degrees of evil. Uh-oh. Okay, Lord, I'll go there. Listen, not all sins are the same. You better hear me. That's a lie the church is telling. Not all sins are the same. Now, all sins will damn you to hell, but not all sins are the same. Say, what are you saying, Coach? Well, go to the Levitical law, and you tell me why there were death penalties for some crimes. In the Levitical law, did everyone who sinned get the death penalty? No. No. In the American legal system, if I go to Kmart and I steal a lawnmower and I drive it out of the parking lot and put it on my truck and take it home with me, is it the death penalty they catch me? No. Why? Because not all sins are the same. Some are more serious than others. Shame on Donald Trump for his adultery. Shame on him. Is that the same sin as Hillary Clinton allowing four men to die on the top of a building in Benghazi? Somebody wake up! High crime and misdemeanor. You mean to tell me that God Almighty would kill me if I stole something from the death penalty, if I steal something from the hardware store? No. You know what they do? Cut off my hand, maybe. All sins aren't the same, fellas. I'm going to say it again, Christians. All sins are not the same. In fact, one of the most grievous sins is homosexuality. It's one of the most grievous. In fact, the Lord himself said that the sexual sins were the worst. Didn't he, Pastor Wayne? Didn't they say something about all those other sins are done outside the body, but a sexual sin is done to your own body? Not all sins are the same, folks.
And Romans 1, if you steal something, does God give up on you and give you over to a reprobate?
Come on, man. Come on here. And I want to ask all my never Trump friends, they say, well, I'm not going to vote him. I'm just going to trust God. Really? I'm going to vote for him and then trust God. I'm going to vote for him that he'll put godly men around him who will give him godly advice. And this came to me yesterday, and I wrote on one of the...
Amen.
Hey, listen, guys, I'm telling you this. You hear me. I would bet you right now, Donald Trump's never been closer to Jesus than he is right now. He's not there yet. Do you have any idea how many people are praying for him? Do you have any idea how many people are making a moral argument before him that has never been made to him before? Do you have any idea how close he is to understanding? He'll never get it without the enlightenment of the Holy Spirit. But I believe God is doing something. Am I the only guy that sees this?
Amen, Coach.
Somebody help me out here. We got faith. I'm going to vote for Tom Hoefling and let the Lord have his will. I'm going to vote for Donald Trump and pray the Lord changes his heart. That's what I'm going to do. Wait a minute. So someone emails me, well, Coach, can Hillary get saved? Yeah, she can. But look at her past sins in government. God will forgive her, but there's consequences to your sins, Hillary, and you will never hold public office again. Hey, guys, does being an adulterer and running a strip club and whatever, are you not allowed to run for office then? But you can get four people killed at Benghazi, lie under oath and destroy email, and you can run. And some of my Christian brothers out there right now are so narrow-minded, they can't see the difference in those two choices. They can't see the difference in those two evils. Somebody help me. I feel like I'm all alone. I know I'm not. Serge keeps amening me. Anybody else want to jump in?
Yeah. I think you convicted me. I utilized that whole saying, I vote for Jesus for president, because I honestly didn't know the depths of the political realm until I started listening to, you know, Larry and you and trying to help remove the gray matter. And I think that's what's benefited for me, is you're starting to remove the gray matter that I may recognize what's the difference between the eyes of the Lord and what's the worker of iniquity. And seeing it in what's going on in these high places.
Yes, yes, Steve. Yes, Steve. Hey, guys, listen. Every one of you here, every one of you have already invested in the future. They're called your children. They're called your grandchildren. And do you understand the chains that will be put on your grandchildren if Hillary Clinton, the Democratic Party, win? You guys, do you understand the chains that are going to be put on your grandchildren?
There will be no future at all.
Well, I can't vote for Trump. I can't. He's an adulterer. What the hell's wrong with you? Do you understand? Go vote cast your vote of conscience for Tom Hoefling. Go ahead. Hillary or Trump's going to win. Trump's on our side. I think he says he is. Hillary ain't even close. She don't even say she's on our side. Hey, JR, who's going to be president again? Help me out here. Who?
It's going to be Hillary or that other fellow we've been talking
about. It's not going to be Jill, it's not going to be Jill Stein? Jill Stein's not going to get elected? Ron Johnson, the dope smoker? He's not going to get elected? Hey, Mike, who's going to get elected again? Somebody help me here.
Donald Trump in a landslide.
No, because there's too many people out there. They can't vote there. No, I can't vote for him. Except they voted for Romney in his in his secret underwear.
Coach, the debate that you're involved in on Facebook is so 1 month ago. Tony Perkins spoke the night that I think Trump spoke, or close to it, at the RNC. And Perkins is the top of the heap of what's left of the pro-family movement. The train's already left the station.
It's already left, Mike.
It's already left the station. Everybody's getting in line behind Trump. They've got the platform. We've got a platform we never could have dreamed that we could have gotten. Not that I'm a Republican. I'm not. But the train's left the station. It's Trump or Hillary, and it's going to be Trump in a landslide. And I hope you keep talking this way, and I hope you put more and more energy into it all the way to November. Because this isn't just about America, Coach. This is about a globe, the world. I mean, this is Brexit on steroids, this presidential election.
It is. And, Mike, you know who my worst enemies are?
Your own house.
My own household. Amen, brother. That's what he told us. It's amazing how I've become a pariah. I'm not even a Christian. They say, Coach, you sold out. Somebody help me out here.
Coach, I want to say something that you've opened my eyes this morning. And Pastor Wayne, I love you. You want to put your hands over your ears now. What Donald Trump is doing is the same thing that most of the people on this call have been doing. And we're not working within the church because we found out you can't work within the church. And Donald Trump's not working within the party because what would happen if Donald Trump tried to work within the party? Let me tell you what he'd be.
Amen, JR.
He'd be a fundraiser, or he'd be a contributor, but he would not be a candidate for president of the United States. Exactly. And I can tell you from personal experience, I've tried to work from the inside, and I was told that if I was really good and I behaved myself, I could become an usher.
You'd be in the inner circle then, huh?
And again, I love you, Pastor Wayne.
So the point I was trying that I was getting ready to make, Lord, bring that thought back to me. Yeah, yeah. Yes, thank you, Lord. I'm going to say this, guys. I want you to know this to be the truth. Hear me. You guys know I'm pretty tough guy. I'm a hard-edged guy. Y'all know that, right? You know what Flip Benham said to me yesterday? Almost made me cry. He said, Coach, those of us who know you, know that you have a big heart packaged in alligator hide.
Amen.
And to think that my Christian brothers, so-called, could be so vicious towards me breaks my heart. Because I'm seeing what I think the world sees in a lot of Christianity. And I'm sure I've delivered my share of it. And I'm a big boy, and I can take the stabs, and I can take the bites. But for my Christian brothers to defriend me and send me to the back alley simply because I don't share their political position, it's grievous to me. There's no room for dialogue. There's no room for debate in the Christian church. And anybody who's watching this right now, You have the right to disagree with me all you want. That's what this is about, man. This is free flow of ideas. And if Pastor Wayne gets on there and he starts talking about the rapture and the rapture's coming next week and 48 signs why it's going to come in 44 days and 44 minutes when we're done, I'm going to disagree with him, but I'm going to love him. I'm not going to kick him to the ash heap. Say, ah, get out of here, you heretic. No, I'm going to love him. I'm going to think one of two things. Either I'm missing it or he's missing it. And I'm not going to reject him because I could be the one missing it. But see, we religious folks, the Pharisees, the leaven of the Pharisees, they assume they're always right and everybody else is always wrong. And you will have to agree with me, fellas, that when we open up the Bible here, we do it in context. We don't jump from here to here to here to here to here and get a bunch of verses that supports our position. We read it in context. And that's the only way the scriptures can be read. God, we only got 4 minutes left.
Amen. Amen.
Coach.
Yes, sir.
I believe you're completely unhinged. And I love you. And I'm glad you're not a soft boy, okay?
I do have alligator skin. I do have alligator skin.
Yeah, we need you. We need you.
We do. We do. And I am absolutely 100% convinced that what I've shared with you today is the truth. And see, whether we realize it or not, guys, we all get programmed. We all get programmed. How many of your friends have you heard say, I can't vote for the lesser of two evils? Heard a lot of friends say that.
Mm-hmm.
We're programmed. See, I'm going to vote against the greater of two evils. I'm voting against the greater of two evils. It's a whole different perspective on it. When you compare the sins of Hillary Clinton and the sins of Donald Trump, public office holding sins where they have sold out the American people, there's no comparison at all. Absolutely no comparison. So we're choosing between which snake we're going to throw out first, the rattlesnake or the wolf, which one we're going to get rid of. And then maybe 4 years from now, we got to get rid of the wolf. We'll find out. But I know what that snake's going to do. 3 minutes. Anybody want to kind of bring them? It's been pretty good, hasn't it?
Yep.
Been pretty good. I got more stuff over here I could throw up here.
It's been excellent. You know, Coach, we don't deserve Donald Trump.
We don't deserve him.
No, we don't.
We deserve Mitt Romney, don't we?
No, we deserve Hillary.
Yeah, we deserve Hillary.
They got to realize out there that if a no vote is a vote for Hillary.
Without question it is.
Yep.
Without question it is.
That's how they rigged it up.
Now, listen, that's why it's important. We have got to tell our friends, vote against the greater evil.
Yep.
Not the lesser two evils. You're voting against the greater evil. The greater evil is Hillary Clinton. How do I know that?
I saw a video of Hillary when she was a young, I can't even say it, a young person in her 20s when she was a lawyer, and she put a 12-year-old girl that was raped by an evil man, a demon, and she destroyed that young girl. And I don't know, I just... she's sick. She is a witch. She is.
She's demonic, brother. She's demonic, yes. And we can't even see it. Donald
Since the very
Trump,
beginning.
Donald Trump is lost. Hillary's evil. Guys, those aren't the same thing. Do you hear me? Those aren't the same thing. Being lost and being evil are not the same thing.
You're not voting between the lesser of evil. What you're voting for is either evil or something uncertain. And I think uncertain breeds faith. If we have the faith, Donald Trump can be led of God and help this nation.
Okay, Kevin.
Hillary can't be touched by the Lord.
Kevin, how about this one? I went to a farm market yesterday. They had tomatoes. I was going to get some tomatoes. Before the lady let me look at the tomatoes, you know what she did? You know what she did? She pulled the rotten ones out and threw them away. Before she even let me look at the rest of them, she reached in and grabbed that rotten one and threw it away. That's what we're going to do in November. We're going to throw away that rotten tomato.
Amen.
Amen.
Throw away that rotten tomato. And maybe we'll have a chance for God to do something.
Amen.
Vote for Trump and pray that God does a mighty work in his heart.
At least Trump's an American.
That sounds like a plan. God bless you guys. God bless you. We'll see you tomorrow.